morning, everyone. Welcome to our roundtable on Sunday, June 28, 2015. The subject is Christian Science. Golden text, John. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Christ Jesus. Today, I'm going to do something a little different. I've been reading, as you know, the history of the Christian Science movement, as well as biographies on Mrs. Eddy, and to read about her, especially in the beginning, it's really painful, all that she went through, first losing her beloved brother, beloved husband, beloved mother. She gets engaged again, and he passes on. But what struck me so was how deeply grateful we must be for this science every day of our lives. And if we are, if each one of us are, it can do tremendous things. And I'm not saying superficially, but hugely grateful for what Mrs. Eddy gave us and the sacrifices that she made. You know, we don't, for the most part here, we don't have those kind of struggles. The work that she did, the leavening that she did in giving the world science, has so progressed thought that, well, our lives today are so much different than what she had experienced. And we must think about that and be so grateful, deeply grateful. So today, I want to start. We had a wonderful session yesterday on this lesson, certainly the Bible. Thank you, Linda. So today, I want you to get out your science and health and turn to page 558. I'm going to read and talk about those two pages. They relate directly to the lesson, the science, all of it. And when someone is ready, who would like to read? From the very beginning, it's a chapter on Apocalypse, but you can read the first one, two, sort of four short paragraphs about quotes, mainly.
Oh, I am ready.
You read?
I can. Who said I can read? Is that Florence?
Yeah, I can read.
Thank you. Go ahead, Florence.
The Apocalypse. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. Revelation. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Psalms. St. John writes in the 10th chapter of his book of Revelation, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth."
Go ahead, Clarence.
Is that it? "This angel or message which comes from God, clothed with a cloud, prefigures divine science. To mortal sense, science seems at first obscure, abstract, and dark. But a bright promise crowns its brow. When understood, it is truth's prism and praise. When you look it fairly in the face, you can heal by its means, and it has for you a light above the sun, for God is the light thereof. Its feet are pillars of fire, foundations of truth and love. It brings the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whose flames of truth were prophetically described by John the Baptist as consuming era.
Thank you. Beautifully done. Think of that. Think of that. Think of how. Is this what happened to you? Remember when you first came into this science. You know, I might have mentioned, but reading in the Christian Science history, even in Mrs. Eddy's time, someone wanted to rewrite Science and Health because they thought it was difficult to understand. Now we hear today, oh, it's difficult to understand because it was written so long ago. Isn't that what we hear? Yes.
So that's arguments I've heard, yeah.
Yes. So I just want you all today, at this moment, we are to rip those arguments to shreds. That's all it is an argument. If this is the word of God coming through someone who we know was so spiritually minded and receptive, then to doubt the wording of it is pure blasphemy, nonsense, a lot of things. And I almost laughed when I read it was being done at her time. It is an argument that is hard to understand. Why did Benjamin read it for the first time and understand it in a foreign language? So, this is part of the work that we do, our mental work, to know that it is understandable. It is the Word of God. And yes, it does. Why is it a little bit hard to understand? Because it's radical.
Part of the arguments of the human mind to belittle deity is, remember, the prophecy is that this Comforter abides forever. Right there in our quoted text.
Yes.
So it shall.
Yes, thank you. It abides forever. Go ahead, Barb.
No, I was going to say, I think it's also this, you know, trying to understand it intellectually, where this is spirit. This whole thing is spiritual. Therefore, it should reach the heart. Like you said, if Benjamin understood it, and I personally know of a woman who is an illiterate and just attends the Christian Science services, but she gets it somehow. It's
yes.
Amazing, really. But she gets the spirit of it. So, you know, I think it's more, of course, what else can it be? Human intellect trying to be something?
Yes. I know Carla gets it. And she's, you know, it's a foreign language to her. Her native language is Spanish. And she gets it. Obviously, millions of people have gotten it. My mother, the first time she read it, she got it. It healed her of cancer. Why we read the fruitage? Because people reading it for the first time, they got it. So I want this lie, this suggestion, thrown into the garbage bin and burned. It's not true. It's not the truth. It's a suggestion of the devil. Now, she does say, to mortal sense, science seems at first obscure, abstract, and dark. Therein is the problem. Your mortal sense doesn't get it. But so then what do? Give up?
Keep at it.
Yes, thank you. Keep at it. And it will break away this dark mortal sense of existence. It will break it away. And then, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, when we were talking about Benjamin, I recollect the first time I started reading Science and Health as powerful and I won't use the word mysterious, but it was as powerful as such. Even though when I wanted to stop, because I never read anything as such before in my life, I mean, I was so amazed how somebody could write something so good, so life. I mean, it was the word of God coming out to life. I wanted to stop, but something keep telling me, keep reading. Even when I wanted to stop, I couldn't stop, I keep reading. I never finished such a book in my whole life, but I never stopped.
Yeah.
I want to stop, sometimes I don't pick it up and start reading. I keep reading. It took me days, but I never stopped. And it was, that's not that was God speaking to me to do it. And I'm glad I did.
And look at the blessing. You gave your testimony Wednesday night. I mean, it was almost inexplicable. Out of all the people that wrote us, and there were hundreds and hundreds of, someone has their computer on and it's causing an echo. There were hundreds and hundreds of, please turn your computer off, down. Or we're gonna have to mute everyone. We got hundreds and hundreds of letters from Nigeria in particular, Africa, and yet it was Benjamin that was chosen to come. The church gave him a ticket to come here. And he's come and he's become our clerk, and he's never looked back, nor has he ever gone back, nor has he ever complained about not going back. He's always been so grateful for all the good, how it's blessed his life immeasurably, and it has. And it's also blessed his loved ones from his home.
I'm going to mute everybody. If you want to speak, you'll have to do star 6.
Does everybody get that? If you want to speak, hit star 6, because we're getting a feedback from somebody. It's not clear who. Giving feedback.
Yeah, maybe Sharon will start to unmute people and maybe we can see. But well, anyway, this is the powerful effect of this textbook. And it's just as powerful now as it was then. You know, as I said, we had someone more recently rewrite it as well. It's online, a rewritten version of Science and Health, because, again, she thought it was hard to understand. Not hard to understand. It's only hard to the human mind to understand. So, thank you, Benjamin, for what you said. And thank God, he said he wanted to stop reading it, but he couldn't. God was telling him continue. And once you get past it, says the promise is bright. And when understood, it's truth, prism, and praise. What does a prism do?
Oh, beautiful.
Florence, was that you?
A prism has the reflection of light, so it's pretty. I'm thinking of the prisms.
Right. It takes the light and it shines it in all the various colors that are in that light. Brings out the beauty of the light, right? So that it's an amazing thing, a prism. And that this is what this science does, the truth. Brings out all the varied, beautiful forms of the truth. Sparkling and radiant. And truth praise, too. And then, what does it mean to look it fairly in the face? You
give it an honest chance and don't have any preconceived conceptions or let yourself get taken away, taken off on something other than that. Thank you.
Everybody still on mute?
A lot of people still are.
Okay.
Did everyone hear that? Carol said you give it an honest chance, unbiased and honest.
It comes in without judgment because...
Yes.
Yeah, without all the preconceived notions of, you know, that you bring to the table when you first find Krishna. It's the baggage that must be dropped. The mental baggage.
Thank you. Yeah, I came upon on the internet, you know, something, Christian Science is the Devil, it was called. And I looked, you know, I looked to see what they had to say, and, you know, they're quoting Mrs. Eddy, and it's they're doing just exactly what Gary and Carol said. With all their preconceived notions, all what they think the Bible is saying, all what they think it's about, and so they're not looking at it honestly, with unprejudiced. They're looking at it with all these prejudices, and because of that, they can't grasp it. And that's too bad. So this is why she says that. And then it's feet are pillars of fire, foundations of truth and love. It's a beautiful paragraph. These next two paragraphs, or next two pages, you should know and understand and live with, because as you do that, we will free this textbook for the world, as we do the Bible as well. And, you know, this is why, too, Andrew has felt so motivated to record Science and Health and then prose work and read it with understanding to loose it for the world, knowing that it is understandable. Okay, so anyone else on that page? All right. We have a long paragraph. Who would like to read, say, up to line 16, which would be half the page?
Most people are off mute now.
I could read.
Thank you.
This angel had in his hand a little book, open for all to read and understand. Did this same book contain the revelation of divine science, the right foot or dominant power of which was upon the sea, upon elementary latent error, the source of all error's visible forms? The angel's left foot was upon the earth. That is, a secondary power was exercised upon visible error and audible sin. The still small voice of scientific thought reaches over continent and ocean to the globe's remotest bound. The inaudible voice of truth is to the human mind as when a lion roareth. It is heard in the desert and in dark places of fear. It arouses the seven thunders of evil and stirs their latent forces to utter the full diapason of secret tones. Then is the power of truth demonstrated, made manifest in the destruction of error.
Thank you. Wow. Any comments on that? What is it saying the foot is on?
On latent as well as visible error.
Thank you. Takes care of both, whether it's up out in the open or underneath, hiding.
science takes care of it both. So, no hiding from God. And then, that the still small voice of scientific thought reaches over continent and ocean to the globe's remotest bounds. So, yesterday when we were here at church, Jeremy told me that what?
All the people on?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we had people on from Vietnam, Tanzania. There was somebody out from Jamaica this morning.
A couple of other
foreign
countries from around.
And they always come up with the city, and I have to look up the city because I've never heard of these places. It's so wonderful to see that people are on small and more.
Yeah, from the remotest corner. And during your day, knowing that God is blessing all these people that find our church, find our website, find this truth, and that they are understanding it. And this is the importance of your contributions, your writing on the forum and other things. So, man, it is as inaudible voice of truth as to the human mind as when a lion roareth. I love that. And when you pray, know it's going in the desert, in the dark places of fear. Know this. Think of it going everywhere, into every corner, enriching the affections of all mankind and governing them. This is a mental process, and it must be done, and it must be done with the greatest love and enthusiasm for this truth. And what I pray most today is that you leave this time together with that. Anyone else on this?
Someone asked me. Go ahead, whoever.
It will destroy the era, as Mrs. Eddy sums. It's made manifest in the destruction of era. Okay, Florence.
No, someone asked me, well, what about people like the Aborigines and others who, you know, how are they going to know the science? But it says it right here because it's a thought. It's, you know, this answers it, I think. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you. Yeah, I've had that question too.
Yeah, and truth comes when the thought is ready for it, when the need is there. In other words, Benjamin was in Nigeria and ready for it, and truth came to him. So it comes, you know, it comes in many different ways. We don't have to outline which way God gives the truth to each one of his children.
I'm struck by the phrase, it arouses the seven thunders of evil and stirs their latent forces to utter the full diapason of secret tones. It brings evil to the surface to destroy us.
Yes. We must never cringe at that process.
And when it says, as when a lion roars, it's getting your attention. It's not just whispering.
Yeah.
It's roaring.
Yeah.
Now hear this. Here's
yes.
The truth.
Then the evil comes down with seven thunders.
Right. And it says it's open for all to read and understand. There's no limitations but on anybody. Everybody can read it and understand. Thank you. And that's our work, to know this. We know it. We've been instructed here with the reading of Signs and Health during our services. That's what we are to be knowing, that it is easily understood by everyone. You don't just sit there and think about what you're going to do tomorrow afternoon or think of, oh, isn't this a lovely reading? I feel so good. We should be working. That's the purpose of those of us who've been here a while. And if we do that work, and if we do it well, there's no limit to what can be done. we talked last week about, you know, when Mrs. Eddy was here, her thought, really, it helped pave the way for Einstein. And that's our work here, too.
Many other, you know, important inventions.
Yes.
The freeing, just the general freeing of thought.
How much has changed since Mrs. Eddy has given us the science? And that was what I was getting at in the beginning when I was talking about her life, and it seemed like everybody she loved passed on. What a dark time, and how far we've come from that time, thanks to her revelation. Thank you all. Oh, and the other thought, too, what Lars was saying about the Aborigines, and I think I've mentioned this before, too, but for the most part, everyone has a conscience in them. Everyone everywhere, whether they've ever even seen the Bible or not, they know to kill is wrong. There's certain things people just know they're not right to do. Isn't that true?
That is true.
Yeah,
they don't need the Ten Commandments for some of the commandments. They just know them.
That's true. It's a conscience. It's in everyone. So, there you go. The truth is within you. It's there. The revelation. That's why you shouldn't despair, think, oh, well, you know, so-and-so, some loved one isn't getting it. Well, don't see them as not getting it. Seeing them as knowing it now, because they do. I love that. Eustace says that, too. When you teach, you don't teach people something they don't know. You're just reminding them of what they already do know. Otherwise, it's I know it and you don't, and that right away puts up a resistance.
Because it's also saying there's more than one mind then.
Absolutely. This is the way the millennium will be brought in, by seeing it is already there. Not by, oh my gosh, I've got thousands and thousands of people to convert. It's only 24 hours of the day. So, and with family members, with friends, it should be natural that they are interested in this science in some way, whether they come here or not, but that their lives are changed for the better and that they do have a right sense of the moral law, the laws of the universe.
And what is the most important thing you can do anyway? For all of these people?
But live it yourself so they can see.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. It's not what you say, it's what you live. How you live.
Yeah, someone once said that, you know, your life might be the only sermon someone might ever hear or see. So let your life be a testimony to this truth. In the early days, and it's in Mrs. Eddy's works, Prose works, and other places, they would say you could almost tell a Christian Scientist by the look on their face of joy, of peace, of strength. That should be part of our being, knowing this truth.
And people around you will feel something. They will feel it. They will feel the power. They will feel the love.
I know that's true for me, because when I had already known Mary and Gary before coming here, but when Mary invited me to actually come to Plainfield, I was really reticent at first, and then I thought, well, I know Mary and Gary, and they're not weird people, they're good people. So, at least let's see what's happening.
And you felt something.
definitely.
When you got here.
And he was reticent because he had seen the bogus sense of science. I mean, he had every reason to be reticent. And he said driving down here to New Jersey was probably one of the hardest things he ever had to do. All the voices were telling him to go back, but he didn't.
And we're glad you didn't, Jeremy.
Yes, thank you.
I'm glad I didn't either.
We're all very glad. But that's what it takes. This is what it takes. And I'm sure at times it hasn't been easy for Benjamin. It hasn't been easy for anybody. It takes that. And this is what we're going to next about, the bitter belly. Okay, thank you, Dale, for your reading. And who would like to start at line 16 to the end of the paragraph?
I will.
Thank you.
Then will a voice from harmony cry, go and take the little book. Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Mortals, obey the heavenly evangel. Take divine science. Read this book from beginning to end. Study it. Ponder it. It will be indeed sweet at its first taste when it heals you. But murmur not over truth if you find its digestion bitter. When you approach nearer and nearer to this divine principle, when you eat the divine body of this principle, thus partaking of the nature or primal elements of truth and love, do not be surprised nor discontented because you must share the hemlock cup and eat the bitter herbs for the Israelites of old at the Paschal meal, thus prefigured this perilous passage out of bondage into the El Dorado of faith and hope.
Thank you. Any comments?
A few months ago, Benjamin had said that whenever May Baker Eddy wrote a short sentence, he pays attention because usually her sentences are so long, and she has a couple short sentences there.
Yes.
Read this book from beginning to end.
Take because divine.
Not all a path of roses. One has a lot of work to do.
That's it. And this is where, as they say, it separates the men from the boys. Because initially, when you come into it, and it's so wonderful, and a lot of good comes into your life, you feel really elated, perhaps, to some degree elated. But then comes some getting rid of some old bad habits. And that's not easy, and you might fight it. You will cling to your tatters, as Mrs. Eddy said.
And this is where you find out what your motive really is. Is it unselfed love for others? Or is it selfish?
If it's the unself love, it will see you through the worst times. If it's selfish, you will turn aside. And you'll have to meet it sooner, some way, and it'll probably come in some not a great way if you turn aside. Once you're on this path, there's really no turning back, not if you understand it at all. I think Carpenter says the only way you could turn back is if you don't understand it, because if you understand it, you know there's no other way. So, no matter how tough it might seem, you keep walking. Hold your head low in humility and keep walking. Keep turning to the textbook. That's your compass, the Bible, or your guide through the dark storm. will guide you.
And as those of you who have walked through dark storms know, when you walk through the storms and science sees you through and you find a brighter other side than you've ever seen before, you know that it's the only secure way. It's the only source of, it's the dominion that is promised in the Bible. And you have a joy that nobody can ever take from you, because it's solid as a rock. So yeah, it's hard. But if you've got a firm foundation, man, you've got all the power of the universe going for you.
And that's why we talked a few weeks ago about not complaining when you're going through these challenges, because you are gaining something so, so big.
Right.
Yeah, if you feel the love of God at your side, you got it all. And these problems that come at you, you work through, you see them as not a problem at all, as having no power at all. Nothing greater in life than that.
And what is happening is the false beliefs that have held you in bondage are being burned away. And you're gaining an understanding, just as if you've believed for a long time that 2 + 2 = 5, and it keeps you in bondage because it's not the truth. But it's all you've known, so you keep on with it. Then you find the truth, but that old belief is so stubborn, could be. So you've got to burn it out, and then you find, yes, 2 + 2 = 4, I get it, I understand it, and then you're ready to make more progress, more unfold. But this is the obedience. If you turn aside, it's disobedience. And that does bring more suffering, more delayed, you know, people that are going on and on in a problem, and I don't care what they say, they can tell me, oh, I'm studying, I'm doing this or that, uh-uh. You can study till you're blue in the face, but if you're still full of fear or negativity or something else, well, you're not living it. When you're really obedient to God, you will see the progress. It's a rule, it's a law, and you can't fudge it.
And isn't that comforting?
Yes, very comforting. And you can't fool. You might try to fool someone, but you can't fool God, and you can't really fool yourself. If a problem isn't being healed, it's because there's something not being done that should be. And you're being forced to do it. Just as you sit in a math class with a teacher and you've got to work that problem out, and you're not going home until you do. So you just got to keep at it. And then the joy and freedom after you've worked it out. And what Dede said too, the whining, that does no good. You're giving reality to the problem. I mean, you can do it if you want to, but it's not helping yourself. And you know, often I'll hear people say, I don't know what to do. And when they say that, I always know they do know what to do. They just don't want to do it. You always know what to do. That's why you're whining and complaining. You know what to do. You don't want to do it. So you're whining and saying that you don't know what to do. So listen and then obey.
I remember one example that you gave in one of these roundtables. We talked about patience, and one definition that was spoken of there was perseverance without murmuring, and that's very helpful.
Yes.
Right, because you don't jump into the kingdom of heaven in a single bound. It's a long walk.
You can't keep complaining. You've got to let go of the complaints.
Yeah, and I mean, the perfect example is look at the children of Israel.
Yeah. Oh my. They complained all the time.
All the time, after the greatest victories. And to me, it's a definite sign you're in the human mind complaining.
Yes.
Instead of complaining, think about all the good God has brought into your life. I mean, they would have a tremendous healing, a tremendous victory. I mean, they walked through the Red Sea, for heaven's sakes, and the next thing they know, they're complaining again. The nature of the human mind. It always finds something.
Always or blaming someone else, like blaming Moses.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's another indication of the human mind, when you blame. Stop it. You have no dominion if you think you're dependent on your outside circumstances. You're not. You're not dependent on your outside circumstances. Your dominion is within you.
That is why the Bible is the chart of life, because there isn't any situation that we have today that hasn't already happened and been written down in the Bible. And the remedy for it is in the Bible.
So, any more comments on these two pages or on the lesson? Otherwise, we will go back to questions and answers in miscellaneous writings.
I think one thing, Mrs. Eddy talks about if our eye is on the goal, and this goal, I'm thinking of in the lesson this week, it says that the effect of this science is to stir the human mind to a change of base. And so, you know, through the struggles, if the thought is, I'm gaining something here, I'm gaining the consciousness of love, as Psalm 23, the way she puts it in Science and Health, says, if I'm gaining the consciousness of love, this is where my security would be, my wisdom to see what error is doing, everything. It's just a prize that is worth, you know, giving up everything for.
Thank you.
Yep. The pearl of great price.
And the change of base is out of the human mind, dropping the old man, the human mind with its deeds, and putting on this new man. That's why gratitude is so important. You have to be grateful, because if you're not grateful for the good, you're not open to receive more. You just have to receive what you've already done.
Right.
Yes.
And most of you are off mute if you'd like to say something. Just go ahead and speak up.
Okay, thank you all. And take this into your heart. Realize what a treasure we have with Christian Science, the revelation, our Mrs. Eddy, our textbook, all of this. When we're so grateful for it and appreciate it and know it's going out to the world.
And that it is fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
In the Bible. It's fulfilling prophecy. This is God ordained. This is not a human thing. And this is not a small thing.
Thank you. So, page 34, we will take up the next question. Who would like to read the question and the answer? On page 34, questions and answers, this is miscellaneous writing.
I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you.
All right, so the question is spiritualism or mesmerism included in Christian Science? They are wholly apart from it. Christian Science is based on divine principle, whereas spiritualism, so far as I understand it, is a mere speculative opinion and human belief. If the departed were to communicate with us, we should see them as they were before death and have them with us. After death, they can no more come to those they have left than we, in our present state of existence, can go to the departed, or the adult can return to his boyhood. We may pass on to their state of existence, but they cannot return to ours. Man is immortal, and there is not a moment when he ceases to exist. All that are called communications from spirit lie within the realm of mortal thought on this present plane of existence, and are the antipodes of Christian Science. The immortal and mortal are as direct opposite as light and darkness.
Thank you. Comments on that? You know, in Mrs. Eddy's day, this was so popular and common.
It's picking up again now. There's a gazillion shows on it.
Absolutely it is. I was just going to say that. I used to think, oh, well, this isn't very relevant, but it is, and it probably always has been. And all these, as I've talked about, you go in any town, you'll see soothsayers or tarot card reading, all of this stuff. It's mortal mind reading. This should put, if you have any question about it, this should put an end to it. This idea of spiritualism is not Christian Science. I had a dear brother who was, I thought, working in science, but when his wife passed on, he got interested, started dabbling in this stuff. And heard a few words from me. It is not. Anybody else? Thank you, Linda.
What is human will? What is mesmerism?
Hello?
And why does it seem to be so popular?
Well, that's a good question. It's like this interest of wanting to know what's on the other side, or that they're still with you or thinking about you. I think it also is mystical in some sense, and it is mesmerizing in the sense that it's very engaging and makes you feel it's very attractive, and it's dangerous.
Thank you.
It's nice to have miscellaneous writings, questions and answers, which explains after the change called death takes place on page 42 that we talked about before.
Yes, she goes into more, and that's why we have these questions and answers, because it was so pressing on people's minds. So
it was very helpful to understand that test.
Yes.
Right.
Anyone worried about the future after death or wanting to know about it, she really explains it.
There, among the many misconceptions of Christian Science out there, one of the largest is that it is the result of human will acting upon another person, willing a person to be healed. That's a common belief that people have about what Christian Science is. That's why it's a question here near the front of this chapter.
Well, I guess also there's this problem of some people in Christian Science who are actually faith healers.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you. And this would be the thought of one mind controlling another, human mind, which is, of course, not possible or true in science.
And Mrs. Eddy warned about that. That she said
did.
If the science went down, it would be because of that.
Thank you.
Right. And there are books out. I mean, there was one book that was extremely popular, The Power of Positive Thinking.
Oh, yes, it was popular.
Yeah, and books like that glorify the positive human thinking.
And it's a step out of the belief that it's all matter. It is a step forward, but it's not thoroughly explained except in science. Were you going to say something, Florence?
No, I'm aware of that book Gary was talking about, how popular it was.
Right, and it appeals to a lot of people because it offers something good, they think. But the fact that it's human is what is wrong with it. Because human goodness can very quickly turn to what?
Hate.
human hatred. Exactly. If it's not of God, no matter how good it might sound or appear or feel at the moment, if it's human, watch out. It's not Christian Science because it's not of God.
And only Mrs. Eddy explains that. So the Power of Positive Thinking, it's by Norman Vincent Peale, who was, you know,
a humanly good man.
And I read the book, and there are many parts of it at one time in my life I found to be helpful. So I want to make sure you know we're not just debunking. It's a lot of it, most of it, I would say, is all based on the Bible. But it's Mrs. Eddy does take it further, and that's the point.
I think if it leads you to science, yes.
Yes.
And if something good has happened. But otherwise, the thought of willing something into being, people are so involved in it now, visualizing something to come
right
into my life, you know.
And it's usually it can be very selfish. Some of the examples I've seen, people saying they will put something out in the universe, is usually something that they want to happen for themselves, and
yeah,
it doesn't benefit anybody. Health.
And it becomes the negative, too, where you start willing evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is to be avoided at all costs. That is, it is, that's my understanding of New Age is that.
Yeah.
And it's not to be confused with Christian Science. So it's a very, thank you, it's a very important point. And as far as I know, all of that is not, has nothing to do with the Bible, and that is why, as Tom has maintained over and over, and we all do here, it has to be Bible-based. All of this willing and the universe and all of that, where is God in it? No God, you run like H from it. So, okay, well, go ahead, Mark.
No, it was Betty.
Oh, Betty, okay. Betty?
I thought that the first editions dealt with the spiritualism. I found I was able to understand it a little bit better when she explained that some of these spiritualist people are actually just reading mortal thought from the people around her.
Yes, she does. Goes into clairvoyancy wonderfully in first edition. And that's all it is. And we can do that. I mean, sometimes you get mental impressions and things. So be clear on these subjects, and that I agree with that. First edition does it well. So we're past our time, and thank you all, and we will go forward working for our service, working for science and health, the liberated for all mankind. It already is, but we will know it as
lift the veil.
Lift the veil, yes. Thank you all.